You and Sonia, but I want you to know that we care about you and just your strength that you have showed through the past hard years of loss is commendable. And let's lift Mary Lois to the throne, Sonia, the family. It is a hard week. Jason is coming Wednesday. Jason is coming home, and I shouldn't say home, but coming here to be with Mary Lois over this time. So, thank you for caring. As I mentioned last Sunday, we would continue to do kind of a review, dissecting of what Paul Miller had shared with us 2 weeks ago. And last Sunday, we talked about the Word of God, which was kind of what Paul had shared in his first part, and then in his message, his second part. Did anyone find time in your schedule to listen to that message this week? No one? A few? Okay. A few of you had a chance to listen to it. Hopefully you remember what Paul shared, because I am kind of referring back to his comments. The title of his message was The Three Times God Wrote with His Finger. And do you remember what he said, what it represented? Every time that he wrote with his finger, it was representing something. It was something that we need. You remember what it was?
Mercy.
We need his mercy. And he mentioned the fact that when Moses came down from the mountain with the law of God, the first time that God wrote with his finger the law of God, and Moses brought it down, right? And he saw what was going on when he got down to the bottom, and he threw them down and broke them. And he said that wasn't so much, we think of it as Moses was angry about what was going on. Paul suggested that it was more God showing the brokenness of mankind, and how in our brokenness we break the law of God. The essence of the law is to demonstrate to mankind that we need mercy. I don't know how many of you find it easy to extend mercy to people. I think there are some people here that score pretty high in your spiritual gift, where it's easier for you to give mercy. Others may not score so high on it, and it might be harder for you to offer mercy. I'm a little bit of a paradox, because we did our spiritual gifts there 2 weeks ago when we were with Paul and Mark, and my highest one was mercy. But my wife says I don't extend much mercy. So I'm trying to figure that one out. I have processed that. What is it? I score high on it, but the reality of what she experiences is not mercy. And I need to figure that one out. I'm like Hans, for you were talking this morning about lazy people. I'm just being honest here. Like, that is one area that I am extremely unmerciful to people, is when I see laziness in someone. It's hard for me to offer mercy to someone that I kind of view as lazy. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, this is something else Paul talked about. When the children of Israel left Egypt, God arranged for the Israelites to spoil the Egyptians. And they took all kinds of things. Remember that? The gold and clothing and silver. And I mean, they were loaded as they left Egypt that night. And Paul suggested that was payment for the past 400 years of free labor. And this was their sustenance for themselves and also for his service. And every time when this gold was misused, that they had brought, when it was misused in a way that they used it to worship other gods, for their self, for their purpose, God wrote with his finger. I don't know if you remember that or not, but what Paul was saying is that God cares deeply about what he has given us, and for us to misuse it is a big deal to God. You see through the Old Testament time and time again, people are tired here this morning. There's a lot of people yawning. What's going on? Stand up, do some stretches. Whew. My message is so good, it's putting you to sleep. You see throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, broken mankind made a mess out of themselves and were in desperate need of God's mercy. And whenever you see mankind coming back to God in brokenness and asking for mercy, God was just, it seemed like God was delighted to move on their behalf if that's how they came to him. So I just want to look at mercy. I want to look at Bible verses, and I think that's probably what stood out to me the most in studying for this message. I just looked at a lot of Bible verses that have to do with mercy, and I just want to read this, and after we read through all these Bible verses, I want you to speak back to all of us. What is it? What do you see about mercy? It's not just one answer, but what, as you read, think about mercy, and what does it speak to you about mercy? All right? Sorry, it should be hooked up here. Uh-oh. Look at this. There we go. Is it big enough to read? Huh? Do what? Oh. Where's my mouse? Is it large? Can you read it, Chris, back there? Okay. So, as you see, there's another page yet after this that has to do with verses about mercy. I mean, it's just the Bible is full of verses about mercy. And let's just read these and think about mercy. I'm gonna get you guys involved. I'm gonna do this side, then this side, back and forth, verse as you go down through there. Let's start over here, Psalm 103. You don't have to say the reference, just read the verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious.
Bind them about thy name. merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. For ye shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But though ye have heard not that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Thank you. So, an interesting thing that I found is that I could not find the word mercy or merciful in the book of Revelations. Do you know that? I don't know what that means. It was just an interesting thing I observed as I was gathering all these verses together. So as you read through there, tell me about mercy.
God gives it generously.
That reminds me of a verse that Hans quoted this morning. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. Think of it in light of that. What else did you see or feel or think of? What did you learn about mercy? God loves it. All right. He delights in it, is what it said, right? I think that was at the end of one verse. He delighteth in mercy.
The last phrase in James 2, mercy rejoices against
the. Let's think about that verse a little bit. That's an interesting verse. Is it here? Yeah, in James 2, verse 13, he says, For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So I think one of the things that we learn, and there's more verses here, right above it you'll see some of those as well, is the fact that if we don't show mercy, God won't show us mercy. That's very clear in Scripture. And I see this verse here, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. It's almost like mercy is fighting against judgment. So it's like this contest going on between mercy and judgment. The way I understand this is that when God looks at our lives, and, you know, he wants to... There's things, we all are guilty. The Bible says, if you offend in one, you've offended all. We're guilty. And yet, this judgment, when God sees mercy in our lives, coming out of our lives, it annuls the judgment that he wants to bring against us. Is that what it's saying? It's like it's fighting against judgment. Any thoughts on that? I'm surprised that, like, that's the one thing that stood out to me as I read through all these verses, is how strong it is that if we don't show mercy, we're not going to receive mercy. And I think of that... I just lost my train of thought. Joel, what had you said?
God gives it generously.
He gives it generously. And I think one of the greatest atrocities that we as Christians can commit against God and His Holy Spirit is the fact that when we have received God's mercy in our hearts and in our lives, and we refuse to give it to someone else. God says, it's over. I mean, there's no hope for us at that point if we refuse to offer mercy when he has done that for us. And the one thing that Paul brought out is how it's so easy for us, especially in our culture, and he was referring to our Mennonite culture, to somehow think, but yes, we do need mercy, but certainly not to the extent that our sinful neighbors need mercy. And that's pretty easy, right? We can go there pretty easily. Yeah, I need mercy, but not to the extent that President Biden needs or Adolf Hitler or, you know, we don't need mercy like them. Yes, we do. We are all sinful creatures. We have all broken the law. And every one of us is in need of mercy. And for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. I want to, since you didn't listen too much, Evan, do you have those sound bites? I'm gonna have you listen to a few sound bites from Paul's message. Go to the first one, and this is just listen to it. It's at 10:20 in his message.
Friend of sinners. And if there was anyone who had created a different path as the way of God, it was the Pharisees. They essentially had made themselves the enemies of sinners. They had created for themselves these structures, these rules, and these practices that would isolate them from sinners, and so they would not be in contact with sinners. Here comes Jesus, and it was like this constant annoyance that Jesus would be among them. He would interact with the sinners that they were keeping themselves, staying far away from. And so they brought they laid this trap, and they brought this woman who had been taken in adultery. So they were essentially saying, okay, so you're the friend of sinners. The law says, stone this woman. Are you going to obey the law? Well, I guess you're not the friend of sinners after all, are you? Or if he says, no, don't stone her, then they will say, you came to fulfill the law. So I guess you're not the Messiah after all, are you? And so in that context, by the way, he did it twice. The text says that he bent down and he wrote. Now what he wrote, there's no time to go into that, but there's some maybes about that, but he wrote down, stooped down and he wrote. And then he, let me read it here. Jesus bent down and
go to 18 and go to 21:14. And this was we sang the song neither did, so he was referring to the woman that they brought to Jesus that was caught in adultery. That was kind of the context of his this part of his story. And we sang that song, Neither Do I Condemn Thee, and then this starts right after that song.
Are you a friend of sinners? As a people, we have probably done better in doing what the Pharisees did. to create a way of life that walls us off from the sinners in our culture. To such a degree that they probably think, if we need mercy, not like they. When God wrote, it was always to demonstrate that we need mercy. We need His mercy. So, how intentional are you in having relations with sinners? It comes as a shock to me that if we look at ourselves honestly, we identify in this incident. Am I speaking this too strongly to say that we identify better with the Pharisees than we do with Jesus? And part of it is because we do not know what to do with sinners. But Jesus, so...
Was that, you're at 13 or 21?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's fine. So it's interesting. And I think the thing that just continues to sit on my mind is that question, are you a friend of sinners? And, you know, we react to that just a little bit because we right away get the mindset, well, you know, we don't want to be like the sinners. You know, we don't want to engage in sinful practices, but yet just the thought that are we willing, do we have an answer for sinners? Can we call sinners to repentance? And so if we're not friends of sinners, we're probably not going to do that, I think is what Paul is saying there. But how do you answer that? Are you a friend of sinners? Can you just as easily sit down with someone that is not a Christian at a table, have dinner, as you can with someone that you do church life with? And then he said, the other part of it is we don't know what to do with sinners. We don't know what to do with them sometimes. What if someone attends our church that we know is in sin? What do we do with them? That's real questions. I'm not saying that lightly. Like, what is the answer? Is it to bring condemnation? Or what does mercy look like in those situations for us as a church? For you as an individual? What does mercy look like? Do people look at us, and I wanted to go around town this week, honestly, I thought about it, and just, I know there's a lot of people, we're well known, pretty well known in our community. I wanted to ask people, do you see us as a merciful people? I don't know what the response would be. I would hope they would say yes, but I don't know. I would hope that they can. A people that can identify with brokenness. Are we able to identify with people like that? To the degree that we ourselves need mercy, this is a quote from Paul, to the degree that we ourselves need mercy, we are able to say to others, neither do I condemn thee, come to Jesus and go and sin no more. So do we as a people of Lake Grace Mennonite Church have the capacity to see our own brokenness and as children of God interact with our fellow mankind who are in sin? We don't know everything that's going on, and be able to call them to repentance in such a merciful way that it is compelling for sinners to come to the gospel and see it demonstrated in our own lives. I think that was the heartbeat of Paul's message that Sunday. And I think, as I read this, as I probably it has sunk in more and more to me since since he spoke, this is not something to play with, being merciful and compassion. And a lot of times through the Bible, it's referring to those that are poor, being merciful to those that have less than us. That's a huge heart of God for his people, is to be generous. God is extremely generous to us. He asks us to be extremely generous to others. But we can't ignore this issue of being merciful. And I personally feel like I have received so much mercy from God, from my family, from you as a church. Like, for real, that's what I feel. I can't hold mercy from anyone else, or I'm toast. And I'm sorry if I have withheld mercy from anyone here. Like, if you have felt judgment and condemnation from me, I truly am sorry for that. Like, I want to be known as a merciful man, not someone that is okay with sin. That's not what we're talking about. But someone that can extend a hand of mercy and understanding and call people to Jesus and to repentance and to go and sin no more. I think I'll stop. Read the parable of the unmerciful servant. It's in Matthew 18:23 there, which gives you an absolute perfect picture, I think, of what I'm trying to communicate here this morning. We know the farmer had $1 million debt, and the king forgave him, and then he went to someone that owed him $1,000 and required that he pay it. Unbelievable. His soul was required that night. So, Jesus ate with Matthew and his friends, Zacchaeus, and other sinful men because he wanted to. He loved them. The Pharisees couldn't conceive of that kind of camaraderie. You see, Jesus loved Matthew, Zacchaeus, the woman caught in adultery, as much as he loved the disciples, his mother, the other Marys, and us. Jesus longed for his love and mercy to find its way into a person's heart, into every person on the face of this earth. In fact, it says there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 that don't need it. So, I encourage you to continue to think about it. Like, how does mercy look? How do we deal with sinful mankind? How do we deal with that as a church? Have we put up walls here that, like, they feel like we don't need near the mercy that they need? Like, we need way more. Like, is that what we portray? And I would love that if you guys would even talk about this and all that. So I'd love to spend some time even on this too. So what separates us from the world? So, and it would be neat, it'd be fun to have a whiteboard up here and have just like let's think about it. What separates us from the world? Let's write it down and then think what should separate us from the world, and see if those two line up. Anyway, thank you for being merciful. Continue to be merciful, and I'd still encourage you to listen to that message if you haven't. It's good. It's really good. Thank you. Stand up. Let's sing one verse of Yours I Spent in Ministry.